Guys. Some of you might not recognize it, but the pictures that were up on the screen during the offer time, that was for the science camp that we had on Thursday, Friday, and yesterday. It's an amazing time for some of these kids. And you saw a couple pictures of some older kids that were doing some paintings. That was from our Donuts and Dabble thing, which was kind of cool. I saw some pictures, and actually I saw, Kitty has one here. I saw her final results of it. And I'm going to ask those people that have made one actually to stand at the back so people can get a close look at your work at the end of the service, because that looks awesome. She's saying, no, it's not. Your what? Your clouds look like dolphins? Okay. Wow. God thinks it's beautiful. So today, we're going to continue with Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. And so you guys can start turning there as we begin. And this is the section where it talks about worry. And what's really interesting is that I find interesting, is that Jesus talks about money and possessions, okay? And then right after that, he talks about worry. Coincidence. Just a coincidence, right? Sure it is. So, because I believe that that was one of the main things that people worried about then, was finances and stuff. And it's one of the main things that we worry about today. It's still our possessions, our finances and stuff. It was interesting because a couple weeks ago, I was at teen camp. And there's a young guy there. He was one of the workers there. He was actually I don't want to give too many details. But he had just got this car, a Jeep, okay? And he literally would worry about his new vehicle, okay? How many of us, when we get something new and shiny, we worry about it? We get it and we park it out, you know, way away from everybody. Don't want any like dings in the doors or anything. And we want to keep that new thing nice and shiny and new. We worry about it. We make sure we park it in the garage. Unless it's like my garage, and you can't get anything in the garage. But before we get too far, I want to define worry for us. All right? So we just get a clear understanding of what worrying actually is. And Webster defines it this way. It says, to think about problems or fears, to feel or show fear and concern because you think, that's key, you think that something bad has happened or could happen. So it's not that it has happened. We just think something might happen that's bad. It's also a feeling of concern about something bad that might happen. Again, it might happen, not that it actually has happened. Another definition of it is to be torn in two. To literally be torn in two. And then another one is to mull over, to not let rest. Pastor Jerry might know what worry means when it comes to chocolate. It's kind of funny. Well, it's not funny, but it is. I learned, it was, I don't know, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, when my daughter went to Hershey. Okay, she toured the Hershey Park, or they went to Hershey Park with Girl Scouts, and they toured the Hershey factory. And I learned that the proper way to eat chocolate, okay, and it's to kind of just let it rest in your mouth. You let it kind of warm up and start to melt some, and then you use your tongue and you roll it around and let it melt some more. And the term they call that is worry. You worry the chocolate. That's true. That was amazing. So just real quick, what are some things that we worry about today? Go ahead, shout it out. Health, what else? Kids, what else? Money, what else? What was that?
Jobs.
Just lots of things, right? Lots of things we worry about. But all those things you just said, what's the one factor? What's the that ties it all together? Well, they're all on earth too, right? But a lot of it has to do with finances still. You know, and even this, the fact, there's a 2015 study done in America, and five of the top six things that Americans worry about have to do with finances. They're money related, and it's healthcare, economy, possible terrorist attacks, Social Security, size of government, and income and wealth distribution. But what happens when we worry about those things? What physically happens to us? Where do our minds go? What are the thoughts that are in our heads? You know, our stress levels rise up. Our blood pressure rises. We're on edge. We think the worst is going to happen. And then we make rash decisions sometimes based on those imaginary what might or could happen. Worry and anxiety tears us apart. It literally tears us apart. Because here's why I say that, because our bodies go in one direction, all right, we're going to work one direction, but our minds are back here thinking about whatever we're worrying about. So we're literally torn in two because of worry. Our bodies are not in sync, and it causes us to work against ourselves and hinders our relationship with God. Now, I'm gonna read from the ESV version today, and because in the NIV, it uses the word worry, but in the English Standard Version uses the word anxiety, because I think in our times, in our society, the word anxiety is brought up more and more and more. And what do we do when we have anxiety? We worry? No. Well, we worry, but sometimes we just go to the doctor and get a pill for it, right? Also. So, there's all kind of anxiety meds that we get prescribed for. So this is Matthew 6, starting verse 25, and we'll go through the end of the chapter here. Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not more valuable than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles," and I think the NIV says pagans. Yeah, the pagans. "The Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble." Let me pray real quick. Dear Father, these words of yours are powerful. These words of yours have life, have meaning or these words of yours you desire for us to grab a hold of and have it to go in through our ears, in through our minds, and sink down into our hearts and have it create change in us. Lord, your word is true. And may we just, may you speak to each and every one that is sitting here this morning, individually this morning, and allow them to understand this. Send your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon them to give them understanding. I pray this in your name. Amen. So, I've loved to go hiking, kind of longer trips, overnight hiking trips, not just go out in the woods for a couple hours, but go out on a trail and spend an overnight. And I got to that point when I took the youth a couple years ago to a week-long hiking trip. Now, I don't really recommend that for someone first starting out because it's difficult. A week at a time, but I loved it. I loved it, loved it. And because I like camping, but camping, I'm sorry, you're going to campgrounds, everybody's too close together. You know, they're too tight, they're too, everyone's, when I go hiking, I don't have neighbors. You know, I'm out by myself. It's wonderful, it's amazing. And because I can get away from all the things that distract me from spending time with God. You know, telephone or the TV or the internet or even kids or family or work, whatever it is, you're out in the middle of nowhere. And you can be just still and quiet with God. Trish likes to hike. But she's the type of hiker that just likes the little couple hour hikes. But she went with me one time and got her backpack. We packed her up. We started hiking on this trail. It's the first time I have been on this trail. And so we get going and we started out through these meadows. And actually the park we were in was called Sky Meadows in Virginia. And it's literally meadows. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, the wildflowers are out. We're walking through some nice meadows, this gradual, nice little stroll. And then we hit this uphill portion of it because I wanted to get up on the Appalachian Trail because I've never been on the Appalachian Trail anywhere, but I want to do some section hiking on it. So we figured, okay, we'll just go up on there, and I know there's some shelters on the Appalachian Trail we can spend the night. So we get going, and we're seeing all these nice, beautiful flowers, wildlife. And we get to the uphill portion, just the beginning of it, and this box turtle was just sitting right in the middle of the trail, just sitting there, not a care in the world. So we stopped for a minute and picked him up, you know. I poked at him a little bit. Poor little turtle, I know. But he closes his lid up, and we set him back down, and we went on our way. Remember I said this is the beginning of the uphill portion, because it became more of a climb than a hike, because we actually went up about 1,000 feet incline in just about a half mile. Okay, it was brutal. It was hard for me. And Trish, being just the amazing woman she is, she's plugging along, and she started to get nauseous. She was getting dizzy. She was starting to see stars. So I was like, all right, we got to stop. Found a rock for her to sit on. Took a nice break. And now I tell people I almost killed her on her first real hiking trip, you know. But she gathered her composure, and we kept going. Made it to the top, because it's amazing, because once we got to the top, or to the AT Trail, Appalachian Trail, it was pretty much flat. It was crazy. We had to get up there, and once we were up there, it wasn't too bad. So we got to the spot where we're going to stay for the night, and it was about six and a half feet of just undergrowth everywhere. And someone had cut out a couple sections of undergrowth and two, three, actually it was three perfect trees for our hammocks. to set up our hammocks. Got that all set up. Went down a little further down the trail to get some more water. And we came back and got my chairs out, set them up, and we're just sitting there just kind of enjoying being with each other. And we noticed this buzzing sound. And we noticed all around us, the undergrowth was in bloom. Okay? So there are literally thousands of bees buzzing around us, all in this area. Trish was a little nervous to begin with, but the bees were in the middle of nowhere, miles from a car, miles from a road. God was taking care of them. The only care that those bees had was collecting pollen. You know, and God had supplied an enormous amount of pollen for them. They weren't worried about us being there. They could care less if we were there or not. You know, they didn't worry about that we were going to spray them with any type of spray. They didn't worry about how they were going to support their family. They didn't worry about what they were going to eat. They didn't worry about their children. They didn't worry about their retirement or how they're going to pay the bills this month. They had everything they needed. God had provided it for them. You know, just like that box turtle that we came across. God provided everything that little box turtle needed to survive. That God carried around his shelter with him. He carried around his protection with him. God was obviously feeding him because he was like this big. You know, he didn't care. He was just going about his life. That's why I love hiking. You go out there and you see these things far off from everything else. And it's only by God's grace and his mercy that he's taking care of them. They have no care in the world. They just go about. Think about butterflies. They just flit around. Da, 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 da. They don't have a care because God's taking care of them. God has clothed them with amazing beauty. So Jesus is telling us not to worry about things of this life. Because when we do, we become preoccupied with them. And when that happens, we're not trusting God. We're not trusting in Christ to take care of us. Because then we're relying on our own strength to provide for our daily needs. Not God's. I believe Jesus tells us not to worry for three reasons. One is our identity. Who we are. Jesus says, look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap nor gather in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And this is the portion there in the last part of verse 26. Are you not of more value than they are? Christ longs to call us his children. Christ longs to call us his children. We are so much more valuable than the birds. And God takes care of them. But when we worry, we end up telling God that we think less of ourselves, that we think that God takes care of other things but not us. Second reason is because it's useless. Who can add another hour to a single hour to the day by being anxious? The only thing that worrying does or being anxious does is that it makes the hours we have on this earth miserable. We're torn in two. Literally torn in two. How can we live any type of life and life to the fullest if we're torn in two? It's impossible. And last thing it does is it hurts our testimony. Jesus says pagans or Gentiles run after these things, meaning the things of clothes or of riches or of food or of just things of this life. They run after them. They chase after them instead of allowing God to take care of them for us. Because when we run after them, it makes us look like everybody else. God has called us to set us apart. We're to be different. We're to look different. We're to act different. We're to be different than the rest of the world. But when we chase after those same things and worry about those same things as unbelievers do, it tells every single unbeliever that our God isn't great enough, that our God isn't powerful enough, that our God doesn't care enough about us to take care of us. It tells them that he's not trustworthy. Because if we can't trust him to take care of us, he's not trustworthy. And this is not the only time that Jesus told his disciples not to worry. Jesus has two other times. One is when he sends out the 12 disciples. It's in Matthew 10. He says this. He says, don't get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts. No bag for the journey, no extra shirt or sandals or staff, for the worker's worth is keep. He's sending his 12 disciples out to do amazing things. And he tells them, don't be prepared. Now, I don't recommend going on a hike like that. Got to be somewhat of a Boy Scout here and there. But God is literally telling them, Jesus tells them, don't be prepared. You know, let me take care of you. Prove to yourself and prove to those that are watching you that God is taking care of you. They went out with nothing. And they started to change the world. He did the same thing when he sent the 72 out. He told them, don't bring stuff along with them. Don't be prepared to go. It's proving that God is trustworthy and he's powerful enough to take care of all their needs. So other scripture says, it tells us not to worry. Peter, 1 Peter, one of the guys that Jesus sent out, and the person that denied Jesus three times. The book of 1 Peter tells us, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Or if it's the ESV version, it's cast all your anxiety on Jesus because he cares for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Then Paul tells the Philippians, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. He will guard your hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. We must be in Jesus Christ for those things to happen. These passages of Scripture in the teaching of Jesus are telling us how to overcome our worry, how to overcome our anxiety. Towards the end of that passage in verse 33, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. But how do we seek the kingdom of God? One, by putting our trust in our Heavenly Father. I know this is hard for some of us to do because our Heavenly Father, our Father, our earthly Father, has let us down in some way. But our Heavenly Father loves us with a perfect love, one that is willing to allow us to experience pain and loss for a greater good. And I got to ask this question because that's what Pastor Nathan asked last week is, do you trust, do you really trust Scripture? Do you take it as truth? Because sometimes, you know, we give our worries to God. We pray about those things. Okay, but then, a little while later, could be the next day, the next week, we say, oh, well, God, you haven't really taken care of this yet, so I'm going to take it back, and I'm going to deal with it. And then we start to worry about it again, and become anxious about it, and it tears us apart again. That's not truly trusting in God. The second thing we do to seek the kingdom of God is strengthen our faith. Jesus says, you have little faith. You of little faith. When we worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to, where we're going to live, our food, our clothing, our all these worries, he says, you of little faith. You see, faith is built stronger when we understand God's promises and when we worry, it's as if we don't trust God to take care of it. When we give those worries over to him and trust that he will take care of them, then our faith strengthens. Because when we see the end results of those things, the next time something starts to bother us to get us to worry, it's easier for us to say, you got it, God. Take this. Take this from me. Last thing is putting the kingdom of God and his righteousness first. Because when we worry, it's a reminder to us all of the things that we have not yet given to God, or the things that we have placed ahead of God. It could be our car, because we worry about a new car. It could be our house. It could be our kids. It could be our finances. It could be our health. It could be any of those things. It could be anything. When we worry about something, we've not yet fully given that over to God. When we worry about something, we have placed that ahead of God's kingdom. So if we're fully trusting God, then we will no longer be torn in two by life. If we give it to Christ to deal with, we can live with, this is a big term here, guys, with contentment. And that's a word that I struggle with a lot. Because our society strives. It's all about striving. Always about getting better. Always about building bigger and better, or, I don't know, being more, having more stuff. Never being content with whatever we have. God has given this thing, but my neighbor has this other thing that could be just a little bit better, and then I want it. I'm never content with what we have. We always want more and more and more. And it's funny because Pastor Nathan said last week about Rockefeller. Someone asked him, how much is enough? And he says, just a little more. Just a little more. That's how we are. We just want just a little bit more. We're never content with where we're at. So as a worship team comes up, I want us to spend just a few moments asking God to reveal the things that we don't trust in him to take care of. And I urge you to say a simple prayer to give that worry over to him. So as you're playing, guys, just think about all the things you worry about. Think about the things that may be keeping you up at night, or the things that consumes your thought, your thoughts, the things that keep you from enjoying life. Do you think about those things because you have not given them over to Christ? Or maybe, you know, you have some things that you decided to take back from God because he didn't take care of it soon enough. You can always come up here and pray. The altar, it's always open. If you want someone to pray with you, I'll be here. One of the elders will be up here to be with you as well. And if you don't know how to give something to Christ, it's just these simple words here. Say, Jesus, I give whatever it is to you. I give blank to you. Your word says to give all our worries to you because you care for me and will provide for all of my needs. So I give this to you and trust you to take care of it with the perfect love you have for me. Let's just take a moment, guys.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain.
You know, there's times when we could give this back to God, and then these thoughts are coming back up. We start worrying again about what it is, about what we just gave up to God. And I want you to know that is Satan bringing those thoughts back into your head. I want you to know that is Satan trying to tear you down, trying to get to you torn in two again. Because he knows that if you're divided, your witness to other non-believers is crap. That your witness to other non-believers is severely, severely diminished. So when those worries start to mull back in your head, those thoughts start to come, you wake up in the middle of the night, start thinking about those same things again. I want you to do this. I want you to shut him down. Because there is power in the name of Jesus. You do that by reaffirming your prayer that you have given this to God. You say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have no power over me because Jesus Christ is my protector and I belong to him. This is no longer my worry. This is God is taking care of this for me. Go back to where you came from. Because God calls me his child. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this morning and this message that you have for us. Lord, will you continue to remind us of those things that we are worrying about, Lord, and when we wake up in the middle of the night or when we're tossing around in bed and can't sleep, Lord, will you remind us of your promises? That we're just cast all those cares on you and allow you to be a provider, allow you to be a protector, and allow you to be the perfect father to us. Amen. So, did you get those? Oh, awesome. Okay. Could you go back? Thank you. I have something for us at the end, as a little reminder, okay? As you go out, I have a Hershey kiss for you. The reason why is you can eat it now if you want to, but I'd ask you to keep that as a reminder. That you can worry chocolate all you want, but don't worry about this life or things of this life. God has it taken care of for you. So as a benediction, let me get this for you. May you go out, may you enjoy life. May you live life to the fullest. And may you allow all your worries to be cast upon Christ because he cares for you. May you go and be blessed. Oh, and anyone who has the pictures, please stand back there because we want to see them.